Well, good morning once again to each one of you. I want to wish each one of you a blessed and happy new year. Hopefully the holiday season was one that was filled with lots of good family time and good food and good fellowship. For our family, it was filled with some fevers and coughs and good stuff like that. So I'm thankful this morning for good health. It's something I take for granted far too often. And it feels good to feel good again. So I'm thankful for that. Before I get started in the message, I always forget to do this, but I want to thank you as a church for the offering last Sunday. It's always appreciated when you're so generous in giving back to us, and we do appreciate it. This morning's message, I hope and I pray, is a message of encouragement as you look at facing a new year. Oftentimes, looking at a new year can be something that's exciting. We might have something that we're resolving to try to work on to do better, or we might have something exciting that we're looking forward to in the new year. But then there's this thing where we never know what the new year will hold. And I've titled this message, "Sometimes He Calms a Storm." And I'm going to be focusing on, of course, the miracle where Jesus calmed the storm in the Sea of Galilee. But there's so many storms that we encounter as we go through life. Thinking of Renee and her family getting ready to lay their mother, their wife, to rest, and it feels like it's far too soon. And that's one storm, but there's so many other storms that we face as we go through life. And what do we do when we're faced with a storm, with a trial, with a tribulation? How do we respond? And where do we turn for our strength? And hopefully this morning will just be a reminder of who is our source of strength, who is our anchor in a time of a storm. I was blessed with the songs as we went through the part of the service where we were singing before Sunday school. So many of the songs went right along with this message and what I was studying for. And I guess you can turn to Mark chapter 4. That's going to be the text this morning. But I had to think, I think we've all probably encountered a storm of some sort, an actual storm. And I can think back to several where I got pretty legitimately worried as we were riding out the storm wherever we were at. I think most of them I would have been at home. But I can think of different instances where I actually got worried enough I prayed for God to stop the storm or to protect us through it. And I'm guessing we probably all have an instance like that we can think of in our lives where we actually cried out to God for help. And this instance in Mark chapter 4, it speaks of a pretty serious storm where the disciples actually got desperate enough to cry out to Jesus for help. And like I said, I was thinking just recently about different people that I may distantly know or know through some other people that I know, whatever. I heard about different people going through really hard times. There was just recently a mom that was diagnosed with cancer. She has some small children. And another instance, a young child was diagnosed with leukemia, has a long road ahead of her. Another young boy was diagnosed with cancer. He has a mass growing in his mouth. And then I think we can all think of someone that we know that's lost a loved one. So those are just some examples of the many storms that we face as we go through life. There can be other things, though. It can be a time of financial strain. There can be a relationship problems, marriage conflicts. There can be church problems. There can be children that get sick or spouses that get sick. You could lose a job, loss of income. You can go on and on and on. And we're never assured that that's not going to happen as we go through life. In fact, we're pretty much assured that there will be times where we're going to be tested and tried. But the one thing that we can be assured of is that we're never going to have to face them alone, that God will always be there with us. And we can be thankful for the fact that God does not leave us alone, that He cares for us, He loves us enough that He will always be with us in this quote-unquote boat that is life, even when it gets pretty rocky. So let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 is where I'll be reading. It says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Now, I know the accounts in Matthew and Luke have some different details. And it seems like different writers focus on different things that stood out to them as they give accounts. But this one has some interesting details that I didn't always catch, I guess, because it's such a familiar story. You hear it so often. You read it so often. It's easy to just miss the significance of it. But I think with each of Jesus' teachings that were given, there's always something that we can pull out and apply if we're open to hear and to see what it is that he was trying to teach. So if you do a little background around this day when this all took place, it had been a very full and a very tiring day for Jesus and the disciples. He had been teaching crowds, actually from this very boat. He just put it off the shore just a little bit so he could be away from the crowd as he taught. But there was such a crowd, and it gives reference to actually other boats that would gather around as well. So it wasn't just people on the shore. There were people in boats gathered around as well. So it feels like it was a large number of people that were always pushing and pulling and tugging and trying to get closer and trying to hear and just trying to encounter Jesus because of his miraculous power. And so all of this took a toll on Jesus. You have to remember, he was the Son of God, but he was in the form of a man. And you can see different examples throughout Jesus' ministry where he withdrew to go to a quiet place where he could either pray and rejuvenate his spirit, or he would go rest. And he needed that because it was a physically and emotionally tiring task that he was taking on. So he was trying to find rest from this tiring day. And it basically gives the impression that as soon as he was done teaching, he told the disciples, "We're going to go to the other side." Generally, a crossing on the lake like this in the evening would be a pretty cool ride. And so a lot of scholars think that they would have normally taken extra blankets or clothes of some sort to put on as they crossed the lake to stay warm. But it says specifically that they went as they were. And they were on a mission. For whatever reason, Jesus was determined to cross tonight, or this very day. It gives the impressions that it was pretty much immediate. And so, in doing so, there was a risk that they would encounter storms. Because in the evening, the cool air coming off the mountains, accompanied with the warm air on the sea, is what created these pop-up storms that would come on very quickly. So if they would have waited till the next day, they probably would have taken less risk. But for whatever reason, Jesus was wanting to cross right then. And as I alluded to, the Sea of Galilee was prone to this happening. It's set down at a low elevation. It's kind of a bowl atmosphere. It's surrounded by hills and pretty good size elevation, mountains maybe. And it can go quickly from a calm and serene sea to a raging, violent, big waves. They've been known to reach heights of 10 feet or more. And so this was not something that was new, and some of these disciples that were in the boat with Jesus were experienced fishermen. They would have spent a lot of days and nights on this very lake, so I'm pretty sure they would have been familiar with the possibility of the storms coming up, and then also what to do to keep their boat under control in the middle of a storm. But in all of their experience, they were struggling. They could not get control of the boat. They could not keep the water out of the boat. And they were kind of getting to be at their wit's end. And so you can kind of picture, as they're going through this struggle, it was probably somewhat chaotic. They were frantically trying to bail water. They might have been trying to quickly pull the sails down so that they could control the direction of the boat so it didn't capsize. And in a case like this, it's all hands on deck. You know, you need everybody to pitch in and pull their weight. And in the middle of this, where was Jesus? He was laying down. He was fast asleep. And they woke him up, and this account gives the impression that they were maybe a little exasperated, maybe a little frustrated. Said, "Teacher, don't you care? Like, we're going to drown. This is serious. How can you sleep as if you don't care?" And it's kind of interesting if you look at Jesus' response. He didn't get up and frantically grab a bucket and bail water. He didn't grab a oar and start rowing furiously. He simply got up and he rebuked the waves. It's kind of interesting there too. The wording actually implies that he responded to the waves in the same way he did when he drove a demon out. There are some people that think that this was a direct attack by Satan on Jesus and the disciples. But whatever the case, he rebuked the waves. He commanded them to be quiet, to be still. And there was immediate results. It wasn't as a normal storm is blowing out. You have a gradual decrease in wind. You have a gradual decrease in the thunder and the lightning and the rain. It was instantly calm and still. And I can only imagine there would have been a peace and serenity on that lake. But I don't think there was much peace and serenity in the hearts of the disciples. It says here that they were terrified. Because now, not only had they just experienced a serious storm, they also experienced a phenomenon they'd never seen before, where a man spoke and nature absolutely obeyed. It was unquestionable who had the authority in this situation. And they could only wonder and look at amazement at each other and wonder who this was that had commanded them the waves to be still. Then you see Jesus ask them, he says, "Why are you afraid? Why do you still have no faith?" You know, if you think about all these miracles that they had just witnessed Jesus perform, all the teachings that he had taken time to walk them through, because not only would he share a parable with the crowds, he would often spend time after that when he and his disciples were alone to actually teach the disciples on a personal level what he was trying to get across. And yet, somehow they couldn't understand who he really was. And how could they not trust that Jesus was always in control? And how did they not realize they did not need to fear the storm, because the maker of the storm was in the very boat with them? The Son of God was asleep with them. And, you know, it's easy for us to look at this story, to look at other accounts, and kind of be hard on the disciples or those that did not have the faith and the understanding. But when we're on this side of it looking at it, we have this example, we have many others, and yet don't we do the same thing? We do the same exact thing when we have all of these tools right in front of us, and yet we still forget. You know, God has given us the Holy Spirit as a comforter. He's given us these examples in the Bible of his faithfulness. We have the assurance that Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. Yet when we get in the middle of despair, we can't see that, and we forget, and we lose sight of God and his sovereignty. I think it's easy to see pretty quick when we're faced with a hard time how much faith we really have in our lives. Are we truly living by faith, or are we living in fear? And that's something that we can all work on, I feel safe to say. So there's a couple things I'd like to look at with this example. And the first one is a question. Did the storm surprise Jesus? Do you really think that he would have planned to go on this journey across the ocean or across the sea if he'd have known there was a storm coming? I think the answer is yes. He knew it was coming. He was not surprised. He knows all things. So even though it doesn't make sense to us why you would do that, why you wouldn't just wait till the next day and make a calm and more safe crossing, it would appear there was a reason for what he was doing. It wasn't haphazard. It would seem that Jesus was trying to show his followers that he was actually worthy of their trust. You know, if you think about it, they could go through life and they could look back on this example if they would remember, and they could say with assurance that God was with them, that he rescued them, and the next time they face a hard time, he will do the same. So I think we can say with assurance that this storm did not surprise Jesus. The second thing is, how could Jesus display such a lack of caring in the midst of this chaos? And once again, I don't think we're going to really know, we're not going to really understand how Jesus could be asleep during this. But I think there's different reasons that you could logically think that would be correct. It could have simply been a test of the disciples' faith. You know, maybe Jesus wanted to see what it took for them to cry out to him for help. Maybe he was just simply at such rest and peace in God's providence and in God's plan that he wasn't worried. Maybe he was just in such need of rest that it wasn't hard for him to sleep through this. You know, there's different things where it could be a multitude of different reasons. It could be all of these reasons. And the thing you have to remember, though, is he was God and he was man. He had access to any power that he needed. He had access to any strength that he needed. But we still see him, as I said earlier, trying to get away from the crowds, trying to pursue personal time with his father, trying to rest. And so whatever the reason was, he did care for the disciples throughout the whole entire process. And he saved them when he was their only hope. And he didn't just save the disciples. It says that there were other boats that were out there with them. So there were other people that would have perished in this storm along with them. And he saved all of them when he calmed this storm. So whether or not it appeared as Jesus cared, he actually did care the whole entire time. And once again, when we come into situations in life where we're encountering a storm, I think we get a lot of those questions in our minds. You know, how can God feel so far away and be so silent when I'm in such a time of need, when I'm crying out to him? And there's times where it feels like your cries for help go unnoticed or unheard, and it might feel as if God doesn't care, or maybe God doesn't have time for our needs. But we know that's not the truth. God has given us promises that he will not forsake us, he will not leave us. And I think it's important in our humanity that we remind ourselves of this, because it's so easy to forget. So many times how we respond is based on our view of God. You know, we can either have the viewpoint that God is always sovereign, always in control, and his ways are always good, or we can have the viewpoint that God somehow is wrong in allowing these hard things to come into our lives. So we can either have a view of God caring or not caring based on how he responds to our circumstances and our needs. And we have to remember the difference in how we view things and how God does. We're short-sighted. We're only able to see a small part of the picture, whereas God is sovereign. He sees all of humanity. He sees all of time. And his ways are above our ways and our understanding. And so we simply have to trust. We have to exercise our faith and know that he will see us through. And he will do what's best to accomplish his plan. This instance was a miracle. God chose to calm the storm. But we can say that that's not always how God responds. He does not always choose to calm the storm. Sometimes he has to calm us. Sometimes he has to calm his children. And that's not fun, because we would much rather not have to go through the hard times and experience them. We'd much rather be removed and protected from them. But once again, we have the assurance God will equip us, he will strengthen us, and he will empower us for what he has in front of us. So how are we going to respond when we face a hard time, when we face a storm? Will we get angry? Will we question God's love for us? Do we try to take over and fix things ourselves? Or can we find a spirit of gratitude and thank God for the fact that he has promised to sustain us? Can we find a way to find joy in the midst of the trial? Can we look for ways to glorify God in the midst of the storm? There's a few things I think that will help us to find strength in the time of a trial. I think the first one is very important, that we remind ourselves of the truths in the Bible, those promises that God has given us, where he will always be with us. I jotted down some references, and I'm going to quick look them up and read them. The first one is Isaiah 41:10. Now, these are in no particular order. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 28:20. This is the very end of what we call the Great Commission. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and this is the key in this verse, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And go over to Joshua 1:9. This is God speaking directly to Joshua. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, even though you know this is true, even though you've heard it's true, go back and read the promises in the Bible, because we forget and we have to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. The second thing is go to God in prayer. When we're desperate, when we are losing hope, when we're losing faith, where can we go? We can always go to God. The disciples probably waited till they were without any other option to cry out to Jesus for help. So many times we do the same thing. But it doesn't matter. God's not going to turn us away because we almost waited too long or longer than we should have. He wants to see us come to him in faith, but he's never going to turn us away. And it's easier when our faith is strong to come to him, but it's even more critical when our faith is on the rocks, when it's being dashed in the middle of a storm. It's even more important to come to God in prayer, to plead our case, to ask him for the strength to stand. And when we recognize that God is our source of strength and we ask him to help us to stay strong, he can give us what we need. He can give us grace. He can give us peace. He can give us joy, whatever it is that we need to carry us through the storm. And the third thing that we can do is we can lean on Christian brothers and sisters. This is where the church can play such a vital role. I think most of us have probably had a time of hardship of some sort where we have experienced the love, the encouragement, the strength of a brotherhood reaching into our lives. And if you have had that chance to experience that, I think you would testify to the importance and how much it helped. If you haven't had that chance, there's most likely a time coming where you will, where you'll be the recipient. And so I would encourage you, when the chances come up to help someone, to reach out to someone, and to encourage someone, take the chances that come, because most likely you will need that at some point in your life. I think we all have an obligation to help each other. God did not design us to go through hard times on our own. And part of his ways of helping us are giving us brothers and sisters to walk alongside. There's an older song that came into my head when I was studying for this, and that's where the title came from, actually. It's entitled, Sometimes He Calms a Storm, and it goes right along with my train of thinking, and thought about playing it, but I'm just going to read the words to the chorus, and if you want to know what song it is, I can give you that later on, but it says, sometimes he calms a storm with a whispered peace be still, and he can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms a storm, and other times he calms his child. That's so powerful, and that's what I was referring to. we're not given the assurance that we're going to always be in the midst of a miracle where Jesus miraculously calms the storm. There are times where we're going to have to stay strong and hang on tight to our anchor. And that's when he calms us, when he gives us what we need to get us through. There's a couple quotes that I came across as well I'd like to share. The first one is, "To have God in our life doesn't mean sailing on a boat with no storms. It means having a boat that no storm can sink." Another one is, "The storm will not destroy us. It will prove the strength of the one who holds us." That's where our strength comes in. It comes from the one who holds us. Our little boat can rock and it can sway and it can go up and down, back and forth, where we don't know which end is up. But as long as our trust is in God, it's going to be okay, because he's bigger than any storm that can rock our boat. So I would just encourage you, let's put our trust in the one who can calm the waves and the seas and the storms that we face in life. And let's not forget his power and his love for us. Brian, do you have a song? All right. Number 472 in the Faith and Praise. If you stand, we'll have prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for your love. God, thank you for the reminder once again this morning of just how much you care for us. And Lord, even when there's times where we feel like maybe you don't care as much as we would hope, or you're not answering how we would like, God, I pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would continue to trust you, and that we would just believe in your faithfulness, that we would lean on you for our strength. And God, I pray that you would give each one of us strength for what we have to face in life. Lord, help us just to remember who it is that holds us. May you just bless each one here this morning, and may you help us to just honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.